Hola, ¿cómo estás? Espero que todo esté bien contigo. This is Tamara Marie, host of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast. I wanted to ask you a quick question before we get started with this episode. Do you have trouble hearing and understanding native Spanish speakers? Whether you've been learning Spanish for 2 weeks or 2 years, it can be a struggle to really understand the fast pace of Spanish spoken by native speakers. So if that's you, don't worry, I got you. I have developed a method that will help you understand 80% of spoken Spanish in less than 30 minutes. This method will help you improve your ability to hear and understand native Spanish speakers so you can increase your listening comprehension and shed your fear of being afraid to start a conversation. You know, a lot of times we don't want to talk to someone in Spanish because we're afraid that when they talk back, we're not going to understand what they say. So we really need to get after that fear by improving our Spanish listening skills. So if this is something that you're interested in, I'd love to share it with you. I'm providing access to this masterclass absolutely free so that you can learn how to improve your Spanish listening skills. If you want to sign up, just go to SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. That's SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. Now, we're only going to have this masterclass available for a limited time, so make sure you sign up today if you want to get access, SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. Okay, let's get to this episode of the podcast. If you've ever considered traveling to Spain or possibly moving there one day, then you definitely don't want to miss this week's episode. We talk all about navigating through the different regions of Spain, and you'll learn a lot from Kai Sacer, our guest, who's back again this week to share more about life in Spain. So we talk about everything from nightlife to Wi-Fi, and also why you should never, ever say estoy bueno. Okay, so he explains that, so make sure you stick around if you've ever thought about, should I say estoy bien or estoy bueno? Kai shares why you should absolutely never say estoy bueno. Entonces, vamos a empezar. Let's get started.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast, the show for Spanish learners that love music, travel, and culture. Close your grammar textbooks, shut down the language apps, and open your ears to how Spanish is spoken in the real world. Let us show you how to go from beginner to bilingual. Here is your host, certified language coach, Tamara Marie.
Hola, bienvenidos al episodio 96. Welcome to episode 96 of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast. Now, as you know, we are counting down to episode 100 of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast. And you still have an opportunity if you want to leave a voice note to share with us your experience listening to the show, your number one takeaway, your favorite episode. If you just want to say congrats on episode 100, then we'd love to hear from you. Just go to learnspanishconsalsa.com/voice. And also don't forget, as we are celebrating our 100th episode, we are saying gracias, thank you, to each and every one of you by offering different opportunities for you to improve your Spanish this month. And one of those is if you sign up to be a supporter of the podcast, and you can do that at learnspanishconsalsa.com/support, then we are giving away a free private Spanish lesson with one of our amazing coaches in the Spanish con Salsa team. So you'll be able to get comfortable speaking Spanish because everyone on our team is super nice and super patient, and they'll definitely work with you regardless of what your level is. We will get you speaking Spanish, okay? So all you have to do is sign up to be a supporter of the show by October 31st. That's in a few days. So if you're thinking about it and maybe you heard me announce it last week and you thought, oh, I'll get around to it, make sure you do it now. Go to learnspanishconsalsa.com/support and sign up to be a supporter of the show, and you'll be able to get your free one-on-one Spanish lesson. This week, you get to hear part two of my conversation with Kai Sacer from the YouTube channel Kai's Foreign Adventures, where you can find out about everything and anything you want to know about moving to Spain. And it's all told from the experience of an African-American. In this week's episode, we talk about how the lifestyle and the Spanish spoken in the Canary Islands differs from that of mainland Spain. including things like access to Wi-Fi and the nightlife. Kai also shares the best place to try paella, and as I mentioned in the intro, why you should never ever say estoy bueno. Another funny thing he shares is a term in Andalusia, or as they say, Andalusia, right? He talks about a term that they use there that I think you'll find quite hilarious, especially if you are a person of African descent. It might catch you off guard. So it's a really fun conversation with Kai. I enjoyed talking to him. He has this infectious laughter, and he just made me want to move to the Canary Islands like yesterday. So I know you'll enjoy this conversation. So make sure you stick around to the end. And I'm also asking Kai a few questions in Espanol, so you'll get to hear his Castilian Spanish accent. Here is part two of my conversation with Kai Cicer. So do you notice that you are treated differently being a Black person from the U.S. versus how maybe Africans are treated in Spain? Because I do know there is a lot of immigration from Arab-speaking countries and also from like Northern Africa and Spain, and that there have been some issues sort of with that cultural mix, I'll say. So have you noticed that people treat you differently based on where you're from, or do people think that you're from Africa?
Okay, so yes, there is some difference in treatment, and I've never been treated badly, and I haven't seen anyone be blatantly racist, although I'm sure there are racist people that exist, you know, here. My friends tell me that it's something very rare, but I have seen xenophobia towards Arabic people and Africans. And when people meet me, they usually think I'm from South America. They will ask me where I'm from. And then when they hear my accent, they're like, oh, whoa, you're American. And there is, I would say, someone else had used this term, and I agree. I would say passport privilege. And I think, you know, the times that I had problems with law enforcement, when they pulled me over, you know, and I didn't have a driver's license and they let me go, they saw my passport. And I think that was one of the reasons why I didn't get in trouble. But I think that if it was an African or an Arab person doing the same thing, I think they would have problems based on what I've seen. But I've never seen any violence towards anyone since I've been in Spain.
Yeah, and I'm sure that must be a big change, like especially like you mentioned being pulled over. I know just kind of hearing you say that, I almost like cringe just like for you thinking, oh my God, you got pulled over by the police. But I know it's different there. You've told me from how the police just kind of treat people in general, but especially being a Black man from the U.S., like there is like this automatic sort of, you know, driving while Black code, or like we have all these things we think about and all this fear around law enforcement, but you haven't experienced it the same way in Spain.
No. And, you know, me being pulled over 5 times, you know, driving without a license for 2 years, and never really having any issues, I can say that, you know, there was fear at first, but they've generally just, they've helped me when I needed help. And I talked to the police, they were like, okay, yeah, where do you want to go? I'll take you. You know, I've never had any problems, and now I don't have any fear here. But I do realize that there is that xenophobia towards certain people, and I keep that in mind. And I have to realize that I am American, and they do see Americans differently than they do Arab people or people from Africa.
And this is a question I also got, which I think everyone thinks about now, because we can't live without Wi-Fi, right? So like, how is the internet service there and any other like services that might be different than the U.S., like, I don't know, utilities, water, things like that. But how is the internet? That's what everybody wants to know. Is there 5G?
Oh, my God. Okay. It's funny you mentioned that, too, because yesterday I did another video about this topic, and I haven't edited this video either because people have asked me the same question. So, okay, the internet is good depending on where you are, okay? And depending on the company. So when I was in Madrid, I didn't have any issues with the internet. It was fast speeds, no problem whatsoever, okay? Then I moved to the Canary Islands. When I was in the north of the island, the internet was good. I could watch Netflix, I could work, it was really fast. Now I'm living in the center of the island. the internet at first was horrible. They had to install fiber optic and all these other types of things because the internet was basically like dial-up. It was horrible. And so there was a company that offered me a free trial for 3 months. And I tried this company. I'm still using this company. And it sucked. Now it's better, but I miss the original company that I had. So I'm in the process of seeing if I can switch. But in my experience, it really depends on where you are in Spain. Some places are much better than others.
Oh, so it sounds similar to the U.S. then, right? Because if you're out in more of a rural area, I remember a few years ago when we first got fiber optics, there were some places that still had dial-up, kind of like you mentioned. So I guess it's just the price you pay for living in an island, I guess, no?
Yeah, well, and where you are on the island, too, it makes a big difference.
So let's talk a little bit about the language now, too, because I know in Canary Islands, the Spanish is a little bit different, and I haven't been over there myself, and one day I hope to travel again. So tell us a little bit about the Canary Islands and, you know, how you ended up settling there, and how is it different from, like, Barcelona or Madrid or Andalusia?
Okay, well, I was offered a teaching job, and that's the only reason why I came here. There was an academy that needed an English teacher really, really bad, and they found my resume, and they called me, and they said, yeah, we have an apartment for you, don't worry. And I said, sure, why not? And when I came, it was very, very different. It's basically like Spain, but with a Latin flavor. There are lots of South American people here, and the Spanish is very, very similar to Caribbean Spanish. So it's like Cuban, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Spanish. It's almost the same. And I felt like I wasn't in Spain anymore. It was so different. Traveling from each island, because I've been to 5 of the islands, and each island is different. It's like, it looks different. They use different vocabulary, and just the feel is different. So the island that I'm on, it's kind of like a desert, but it has the best beaches out of all the other islands. But then you have other islands that are very green. Some have cities and some don't. But I would say here it's very beautiful. If you like a very quiet life, the Canary Islands is the best. But if you like that city life, if you like busyness, you probably won't like the Canary Islands.
Probably more like Barcelona or Madrid, where they have more nightlife, right?
Yeah, or Malaga or Seville, something. Yeah, one of these places where they have more of a nightlife. So, but I like it.
You mentioned sort of when we first started talking that you had wanted to learn Spanish, and that friend had mentioned to you about becoming an English teacher and moving abroad, and that would help you learn. Now, I know some people say that immersion is the best way to learn a language because you basically sink or swim. It's like survival. You've got to figure out how to say things. But you also mentioned that, you know, talking to some locals that you got creative, right? Use hand gestures and things like that. So from your experience, right, just kind of, it sounds like it was total immersion for you. Did you prepare at all beforehand? Did you learn some Spanish before? And then how was like that immersive experience for your Spanish proficiency?
Oh, good question. So before I came to Spain, I only knew how to say, hola, ¿cómo estás? Uno, dos, tres. That was it. And that was it. And so I was lucky because I always ended up in places where there were no English speakers. And it wasn't on purpose. It was just by circumstance. And when I told you about my friend who spoke 5 languages, you know, I lived with her in this little town outside of the city center, and everyone spoke Spanish and Catalan, the other language that's spoken in Catalonia. And she told me, well, you need to learn Spanish. So she would take little notes and she would put them on objects. So that way I would see them when I come out. So the table, it would say mesa. The chair would say silla. And if I needed something from her, she would make me ask for it in Spanish. And so when I had a little base from her, I would go out and start meeting people. And I would say, okay, I only want to speak Spanish. And it was very difficult, but it was like sink or swim, because if I had to go to the bank or go to the doctor or anything, I had to speak Spanish. So sometimes When I meet people that are foreigners and they've lived here for 15 years, they don't speak Spanish, I don't know how they survive because I have to speak Spanish every single day. I don't have an expat bubble to live in. And when I look back on that, I'm actually very happy because it's very easy to fall into that trap where, okay, well, this person comes from my country and we can just speak English. And if you do that, it's even more difficult to learn. And I feel like it's a wasted opportunity if you live here and you don't learn the language.
Yeah. And I mean, I know in the U.S. too, there's a lot of communities of, which is funny because the word expat, I think, is relegated to a certain class of people. That's a whole other story. But we definitely have immigrant communities here. We wouldn't call them expat communities, but we.
Yeah, yeah.
Where people, you know, if you live in one particular part of town or you have family and you have community, you can get by in some places without ever having to learn English. So it is really interesting that you mentioned that you don't have that bubble there, yeah. Which I think is good in a way because it forces you to have to learn a language. But I have to ask you, so you had this experience where you had someone that sounds like they were really helping you. Mm-hmm. But did you ever make any mistakes or have any issues where something got lost in translation and
oh man yes, so many times I made embarrassing mistakes. For example, when I was working here in the school, my boss, she spoke English, German, and Spanish, and I would always speak to her in English, but she forced me to speak to her in Spanish because she said it was too comfortable. And one day she said, "Hola, buenos días, ¿cómo estás?" And I wanted to say "estoy bien," but I said "estoy bueno," which has a sexual connotation. And she laughed,
like,
and
hot.
She said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh my goodness, Kai, no." And I said, "What?" And she explained it to me, and I said, "Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed." But it's how you learn.
Yeah. So for our listeners that don't know, explain what the difference was. Like if you say "estoy bueno" versus "estoy bien," because it's a common mix-up, right, for English speakers. Because "bien" and "bueno," like for us, well or good,
yeah,
in English is really interchangeable. But yeah, explain that connotation so folks don't miss that one.
So when you say "estoy bien," it's literally "I'm fine." You know, I'm good. But when you say "estoy bueno," it's like you're good, but in a sexual way. You know what I mean? You're ready to do something sexual. You're very hot. Like
I'm good and ready.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes. But I made plenty of mistakes like this in the past.
Well, yeah, but that is how you learn, and I'm sure you would never mix those up again, right?
No. Nope.
Okay. Entonces, ahora tengo como dos o tres preguntas en español,
vale,
para ti. Uno es, ¿cuál es tu canción favorita en español? Una canción en español.
Es una buena pregunta. Me gusta una canción, se llama No Quiero Levantar. Es una canción antigua. Y me encanta esta canción porque en Madrid, cuando yo estaba con mis amigos en la discoteca, he escuchado esta canción y yo estaba muy borracho. Yo digo, oh, no quiero levantarme tampoco, no. Y mis amigos se rieron y yo digo, ¿qué? ¿Qué ha pasado? Y yo podía hablar español mejor por el alcohol. Sí. Y por eso es mi canción favorita.
Qué buena memoria.
Sí.
¿Y tienes una palabra o dicho que tienen en España que no tenemos en Estados Unidos? Puede ser una palabra en español que no tenemos en inglés o un dicho o refrán que dicen en España.
Sí, bueno, en Andalucía, cuando alguien está muy enfadado, ellos dicen, oh, estoy negro. Y cuando he escuchado esta frase por primera vez, yo digo, pero eres blanco, no entiendo. Y mi amigo me dijo, no, Kai, estoy negro aquí. Es cuando estás muy enfadado por algo, no sé, alguien ha dicho algo o estás muy enfadado aquí, no decimos estoy enfadado, decimos estoy negro. Y yo digo, esto no tiene sentido, no entiendo. Solo en Andalucía, sí, en las Islas Canarias, ellos no entienden esta frase, pero es muy popular en Andalucía.
Wow, qué raro, es algo que hay que aprender, ¿no? Las sí. diferencias. Pero mira, yo soy negra todo el tiempo, no entiendo, ¿no?
Sí.
Qué raro.
Sí.
¿Y tienes un plato favorito de España o un plato favorito en general?
Oh, tengo un montón. Bueno, mi plato favorito es salmorejo. Es como gazpacho, pero tiene huevos y el color es un poco diferente, es un poco rojo, pero es un plato común en Andalucía y me encanta. Y también me gusta paella marisco porque paella es parecido con jambalaya en Estados Unidos y por eso me encanta. Pero me encanta marisco y hay un plato que se llama paella con conejo. Yo quiero probar esto, pero todo el mundo me dijeron que necesito probarlo en Valencia. Y no conozco Valencia, pero algún día voy a viajar por ahí para que yo pueda probarlo.
Yo he oído que hay cosas como, hay tipos de paella que tiene que probar en una ciudad o otro, ¿no? Sí. Es algo como diferente tipo de paella, no sé.
Sí, hay muchos tipos, pero Valencia es el sitio donde ellos tienen la mejor paella, porque paella es de Valencia. Y los valencianos dicen, oh, ¿has probado paella en Madrid o Fuerteventura? No, necesitas venir aquí para probar paella de verdad.
Otra pregunta. Si tú no tuvieras que trabajar, ¿qué harías con el tiempo adicional?
Uf, es una buena pregunta. Bueno, yo no sé, porque cuando yo llegué a España y yo sé que yo quería enseñar inglés, porque yo no hablaba español y todo el mundo me dijo inglés es más fácil para ti porque hablas el idioma. Y si tú no hablas español, es muy difícil para trabajar en otro sitio. Y creo que si eres un extranjero y hablas solo inglés, creo que para enseñar inglés es más fácil. Por ejemplo, tengo un amigo, él es de Inglaterra y él lleva en Fuerteventura 15 años. Y me dijo al principio, él no hablaba español tampoco, pero él trabajaba en un hotel. Y él me dijo, sí, era muy difícil, pero él hablaba inglés. Y en el hotel, los turistas eran ingleses. Para él era más fácil, pero él me dijo que él cree que es más fácil para enseñar inglés porque no necesitas hablar español. Así que es un poco difícil, pero si no tuviera trabajo, yo no sé.
¿Quieres viajar o qué?
Sí, yo quiero ver más de Europa, porque yo conozco solo España, Inglaterra y Gibraltar. Pero me gustaría viajar a Francia, Italia, Portugal, sí, otros sitios, pero en este momento es muy difícil porque hay coronavirus y los españoles no pueden viajar en cualquier sitio. Quizás en el año que viene.
Bueno, entonces gracias. Thank you, Kai, for sharing some time with us here on the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast and your experience living in Spain. If folks want to get in touch with you and they want to check out your YouTube channel, how can they find you on social media?
My YouTube channel is Kai's Foreign Adventures. And if you want to find me on Instagram, my name is Kai C, like casa, 1983. And I do have people that will send me messages. They watch a video. They have questions. They find me on Instagram, and that's totally okay. So feel free.
Good. And also put a link to that in the show notes. So if you want to get in touch with Kai, you want to reach out, you want to watch some of his very informative videos before you move to Spain, we'll include that in the show notes of this episode so that you can check all of that out as well. Gracias, Kai.
Oh, gracias a ti.
Que tengas un buen día.
Igualmente. Muchas gracias.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Kai. And if you're thinking about visiting Spain or possibly moving there one day, make sure you check out his YouTube channel. I will be including a link to that in the show notes for this episode. So you can just go to learnspanishconsalsa.com/96. That's learnspanishconsalsa.com/96. Or you can click on the link in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast. If you just scroll down and click on the description, you'll see a link as well to our show notes page. So we'll be linking up his YouTube channel and also how to get in touch with him on Instagram if you have some further questions about all things Spain. I hope you're enjoying our Black Expat series so far. We will be bringing you more stories in the future from expats that live in other countries. But next week, we'll be getting back to my favorite thing to do, which is to share another one of my favorite salsa songs. And I will be doing a breakdown of the lyrics as well. So make sure you tune in next week. If you haven't already subscribed, make sure you hit that subscribe button. We publish a new episode every Tuesday morning. So if you want to be the first one to know about it, make sure that you are subscribed so that you will see each and every new episode in your podcast feed. And don't forget, if you sign up by October 31st to be a supporter of the show, you'll get a free Spanish lesson. And that's a one-on-one lesson from one of the coaches on our Spanish Con Salsa team, our amazing, amazing team of coaches that are all native Spanish speakers that will help you get comfortable speaking Spanish. So just go to learnspanishconsalsa.com/support, sign up by October 31st, and you'll be able to get that free lesson. As always, I hope something that you heard in today's episode has helped you go one step closer from Spanish beginner to bilingual. Hasta la próxima.
Thank you for listening to the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast at learnspanishconsalsa.com.